Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning. I'm Angela Davis, and you are listening to NPR News. Glad you could join us today. More Americans are saying they don't want to have children. That's according to a poll from the Pew Research Center. People are making that choice for a variety of reasons. Some are concerned about the instability caused by climate change or political division or the COVID-19 pandemic or all of the above. The cost of having children can be frightening, particularly as childcare and healthcare and education costs rise. And some have spiritual or emotional reasons for not having children. So this hour, I am talking with a sociologist and a writer about their decisions not to have children and what they think others, why they think others are making that same choice. And I want to hear from you too, our listeners. Are you child-free by choice? And what helped you make that decision? Or are you in the process of making that decision now? Are your reasons practical or personal or both? The phone lines are open. You can call us at 651-227-6000. Again, 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. You can also tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR. So many of you already have left me some messages, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. First, I want to introduce our guests. We have with us this morning Amy Blackstone, and Amy is a professor of sociology at the University of Maine and the author of the book Child Free by Choice, The Movement, Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. Good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning.
Glad you could be with us. Also on the line, we have Donna Freitas. Now, Donna is a novelist and a professor at Fairleigh Dickinson University there in New Jersey. Her most recent book is The Nine Lives of Rose Napolitano. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Angela. It's nice to be with you this morning.
Glad to have both of you with us. And I want to start with just a personal question. You know, both of you have chosen not to have children. And Amy, I'll start with you. How did you make that decision?
Yeah, it was a decision that I came by over time, really. And I think it's important to contextualize my decision by telling you that I'm 49 years old. So it was a decision I made over the course of my 20s and 30s. And to be honest, as a kid, I assumed I would become a mother one day. And certainly those were the messages that I received growing up, that that's what my destiny would be. And that's, of course, what all little girls wanted to become. And I trained myself well for the role of motherhood. As a teenager, I babysat almost every weekend, and I did it because I really enjoyed it. I became a certified babysitter when I was 11 years old. I went through a class on babysitting. And I even nannied during my college years. So I really was well set up for the role of motherhood. And when I graduated from college, I right away married my high school sweetheart, Lance. We're still married today. And he too assumed that we would have kids one day, mostly because we assumed that that's what people did. We didn't question it, but we made that assumption. So over the years, early in our marriage, when people would ask us, why aren't you having kids yet? The answer always was, well, we're too young, but we'll do it later. And then I started grad school, working on a PhD, and decided, well, I'm too young and I got to finish the PhD. By my mid-30s, I had a moment where three friends came to me to share with me that they themselves were pregnant for the first time, happily so. And of course, I was happy for them. My initial reaction when I heard that was, oh, yeah, that's awesome, but I'm still too young to do it. And then I found out that one of my friends, who was the same age as me, had been told by her doctor that her pregnancy was a geriatric pregnancy because of her age.
Wow.
And so I realized something else is going on here. Clearly I'm not too young anymore as a 30-something woman, but I still don't feel that pull toward motherhood that so many of my friends describe. And it was at that point that I actually did my sociology thing and thought, you know, I'm going to go read some of the literature about people who opt out of parenthood. Something must be wrong with me. So I went on this quest to discover what was wrong with me. And I was happy to discover that, you know, there may be all kinds of things wrong with me in other regards, but in this regard, nothing was wrong with me. The idea that there's a some sort of maternal drive for women to become mothers, it turns out, is a myth. There is no drive for us to become mothers. We have a drive to have sex, but that's much different than the drive to nurture something for 18 to 25 years. So I could let go of the guilt around, you know, my maternal instinct or clock is broken, because there is no such thing. And then I also discovered that there are all kinds of people like me who, for any number of reasons, you know, chose a path that didn't include parenthood and were living very fulfilling and happy lives. And I wanted to learn so much more about them that I actually at that point embarked on my own study as a sociologist, and have been studying the child-free and the child-free choice ever since then. And the result of much of that work was my book.
Well, Amy, we're going to talk more about your research and your book this hour. But next, I want to ask you, Donna, why did you choose not to have children?
Well, it was interesting to hear you talking, Amy, about your own background. It didn't really feel like a choice to me. I knew from a very young age that I didn't want children. And I began to articulate that, I think, around the time I was 12. And I learned very quickly that I was not supposed to say that, and that it was, I got very negative feedback when I would say things, you know, it would come up. I remember a particular brunch with my mother and her friends and their daughters, and they brought up the issue of our future kids. And I just mentioned at the table, like, oh, I'm not going to have any. And this, you know, the reactions were, you know, really horrified, like, oh, you can't know that, you're too young, don't say that, of course you're going to have children. And so I learned pretty early that I shouldn't say this out loud. But I knew, like, I knew my whole life that this was not for me, to the point where I've thought about how maybe I was just born this way. And, you know, when I got married in my late 20s, I told my husband like 100 times before we got married, like, listen, like, I need you to know that I do not want children, and don't go into this marriage thinking I'm going to come around. And, you know, he said, yes, sure, you know, I understand. And then, you know, we got married. And one of the things I didn't anticipate was how it was almost as though the conversation I really needed to have was with our entire community. Like, I needed them to understand I wasn't going to have children, because as soon as we got married, you know, the pressure started, and it made my 30s really hard, I would say, because all the influence I had coming from all around me, or all the voices coming from all around me, were just very, you know, you're going to change your mind, you have to change your mind, you know, you're going to regret this for the rest of your life if you don't do it. And it was really hard. And the whole time, though, I knew that this wasn't for me. And I used to agonize, you know, at night when I was in bed, like, am I really going to regret this for the rest of my life? Are these people, are they right and I'm wrong? And so it was a really hard journey for me.
So what happened with you and your husband? You said going into the marriage, you were very clear about this. And so what happened?
So we ended up divorced, and it was because of this issue. And we're good friends now, so I feel like I can talk about it. And he and I can talk about it together in a way that feels good, I guess, to be on the other side of it. But it was really hard. And, you know, when I came to realize, oh, you know, my marriage is going to, you know, break or work based on whether or not I give in and have a baby. And so
Donna, did your husband change his mind about children?
In some ways, yes, I guess. I mean, I think part of the issue is that we don't necessarily raise boys to think about this issue much. And I think when he was telling me he was fine with not having children, he just hadn't really thought about it that much. And then when we got into our 30s, I think he realized, like, oh, like, I can't live without this. And then, you know, suddenly we were at this impasse, because that's really a deal breaker issue. And, you know, when I did really make the decision, oh, I really can't do this. Like, even if our marriage ends because of it, I really can't do it. It felt so scary, because I thought, wow, like, I am staking my life on this, apparently. Like, I'm going to let my marriage go because, you know, for my commitment to not having a child. And so it was a really, really hard decision. But now that I'm way on the other side of it, I'm so glad that I made it, because it was the best right decision for me. And I feel certain about that.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new poll that shows more Americans are saying that they do not want to have children. And I'm talking with two guys who are writers and who are professors about their own personal decision to not have children. And I want to hear from our listeners. We're getting lots of phone calls, so I'm going to take some of those right now. And the question is, are you child-free by choice? What helped you make that decision? Or are you in the process of trying to make that decision now? What are your reasons? Give us a call at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. And let's take some phone calls. In Decorah, Iowa, we have Anna on the phone. Good morning to you, Anna. What did you want to share with us?
Good morning. Thank you so much, Angela, for having this conversation. This is a topic I'm passionate about, and so excited to hear from your guests as well. I am child-free by choice. This is a decision I came to. I relate a lot to Dr. Amy Blackstone's story, where it was kind of, I always assumed I'd have kids, but gradually over time came to this decision. And last year is when I concretely made it. And I would say, like, what kind of cued me in was noticing I was becoming very avoidant of the subject of kids around friends or family, and even resentful of comments like, oh, but you'd be such a good mom, if I vocalized that I didn't want to be one. And I realized, like, there was something to kind of explore there. And ultimately, once I made this decision, I finally felt comfortable in my own skin.
Mm. It was freeing for you. So Anna, may I ask, like, why don't you want to have children?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, honestly. But I think the primary one is that I just I don't have the desire. I've wanted to want to be a mom, but I mean, childbirth scares me, and it's just not a part of what I picture for my life, to be responsible for another life. And honestly, another big reason for me is climate change. I don't feel comfortable bringing another life into this world with such an uncertain future.
All right. That's Anna and Decorah. Let's take another phone call about the decision to be child-free in Minneapolis. Joshua's on the line. Joshua, what do you want to tell us?
So I actually do have two children of my own. I've actually been in a custody battle with my children's mother for quite some time. And my sister, who's not too much younger than I am, she's been kind of my rock throughout this entire thing, and she doesn't want the aggravation or maybe even put kids in that situation in the case that her and her boyfriend broke up. They've been together for about 7.5 years now and live together, but you never know how those things come together, and that was their kind of determining factor. Looking at that, looking at their past experiences with divorce and child rearing in that realm of family.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's Joshua in Minneapolis. And let's take one more call in right now in Minneapolis. Colleen's on the line. Colleen, what do you want to tell us about making a decision not to have children?
Hey, Angela. Thanks for having this conversation. Yeah, I just wanted to add that my husband and I are child-free by choice for lots of reasons. Wanted to focus on careers, be active volunteers in the community, and do lots of traveling. We looked to an aunt and uncle of mine who didn't have kids as an example, and they enjoyed lots of traveling over the years, so we wanted to do something similar. Mm-hmm. one thing I'd like people to know is that we do really enjoy kids. We really enjoy being an aunt and uncle and spending time with our friends' kids. And I think lots of kids need a special adult in their lives other than their parents. And we can help play that role.
Thank you. That's Colleen there in Minneapolis. And to our guests, you know, we've heard a lot in those phone calls. And, you know, I want to talk first about climate change. We heard a listener say, you know, concerned about what the world is going to be like. And I have this comment on Twitter as well. Ariel writes, because, you know, they see their siblings and friends, especially now during the pandemic, struggling to find childcare, let alone afford it. They've seen the 10,000 plus bills for just delivering a baby. They're afraid of what this planet will look like in 75 years. So a variety of reasons. But Amy and Donna, what are you hearing or what are your thoughts about climate change being a reason that people are choosing to be child free? Amy?
Sure. Well, it's interesting because a couple of thoughts. One, the child-free movement, if we can call what's happening a movement, and we could debate that too, but the period that I refer to as the movement really began in the 1960s and 70s and was inspired by a couple of movements that were going on at the same time, the feminist movement, of course, and the zero population growth movement. And that movement really was all about, you know, raising our awareness about the impact of human consumption on the planet and overpopulation on the planet. And though we don't hear much about the ZPG movement anymore, and if you look at the research on the child-free choice, an interest in the environment or the environment being a cause for making the choice sort of declined over the years into the 70s, 80s, and 90s. When I started my research, environment never emerged as a top five reason when people were studied and asked why they didn't want kids. It did come up usually in the top 10, but it wasn't prominent like it is now. And I think it's really telling and interesting and exciting to see the concern over the environment has come full circle and people are talking about it again and understanding that the choices that we make in terms of our family size and our consumption, because a baby born in the U.S. Has a far different impact on the environment than a baby born in Niger, which has the highest birth rate in the world. Our impact is much, much higher. But the fact that we're talking about that again, I think is really important, and I'm glad that it's coming up. So it is starting to reemerge in published studies as a top reason, but that's really only in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years that we've been seeing it again.
And Donna, your thoughts? We heard some comments about climate change, and a lot of people on Twitter are writing about the financial burden and what they've witnessed during the pandemic as so many of their friends and family members have really struggled. What are you thinking right now?
Well, I think I would hope that anyone who is thinking about having a child is thinking about climate change right now for all the reasons that, you know, Amy mentioned. And, you know, I'm not sure how you cannot think about that. But, you know, one of the things that has really surprised me, I've actually been interviewing women who don't want children since my book came out, because my novel is about a woman who doesn't want children. And after it published, I just started hearing from so many women, you know, about their own stories. And I decided to start interviewing them because in my other life, I'm a professor and I do research like Amy. And one of the things that has surprised me is, you know, I kind of thought I was going to get a real broad range of answers from women, you know, climate change being one, finances being another. But I would say that the number one reason women, I mean, and I've interviewed so many at this point, that women cite for their not having children is that they just don't want them. And your first caller mentioned lack of desire. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest reason of all. And it's the one that we have a hard time accepting. Like, we make it really hard for women to just admit, you know what? The reason why I'm not having children, it's not you know, because I want to save the planet or because I'm worried about the planet. I mean, I may be worried about the planet, mm-hmm. but that's not why I'm not having children. I'm actually not having children because I simply do not want them. Like, I lack the desire. I don't know what it means to want to have children. And that is the most common reason that I have heard. And I think part of why we don't hear that much is because we don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think because the women I'm interviewing, and I'd be curious what Amy thinks of this, because the women I'm interviewing know that I don't have children and I didn't want them, I think they feel safe speaking about it in a way they may not in another space. And even when I was writing my book about a woman who didn't want children, I remember my editor at one point put a note in the margin saying, you know, but why doesn't she want children? You know, you have to explain this. And I remember being really stumped and thinking, how do I answer that? Like, do I have to make something up?
Right.
Because I didn't really have a better answer than she just doesn't want them.
It's what
and I
she
wanted
feels,
to be able to be honest.
Yeah, what she feels yeah. and what she knows. And, you know, in contrast, you know, I think one of you said it was when you were 12 years old, you realized you didn't want to, you know, have children. You didn't see it for yourselves. And for me, when I was 12, I'm the oldest of the grandchildren on my mom's side. I always knew I wanted to have kids. And it was just like a feature, but I just knew. And so the thought that anyone would ask me to change that or be different from what I just knew who I was, it's like, doesn't make sense to me. So I understand when someone says, I don't want that. I don't see that for myself. I don't have that instinct. It's really the same instinct that I have that I do. Right. And so, you know, this is a conversation. People don't like to talk about this. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear people say that they don't want to have children, but we have to talk about it. Right, Amy?
Absolutely. And Donna, I'm so glad that you brought up this point about, you know, people may just not want them. That's a theme that came through loud and clear in all of the interviews that I did. You see it in other published studies of child-free women and men. And one of the points that person that I interviewed said to me when I asked her why she had opted out of parenthood was, you know, I get that all the time. And yet when I ask parents, why did you decide to become a parent? It's not taken very kindly. It's not a question. And she happened to be someone who genuinely wanted to understand why people opt in. But isn't it interesting that when the tables are turned, it suddenly becomes this offensive question? And I think that it is telling, and I think that one of the things that it tells us is that we need to do a better job about talking about all of the choices that are open to people in forming families. Families can look a lot of different ways. They can include, you know, a group of people who live together and love each other. They can include children. They don't have to include children. And I think until we're comfortable answering the question of why we have children, we, you know, maybe could take a break on putting child-free people under the microscope and talk about parenthood. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying that to be difficult or annoying, but I think one of the reasons we're so fascinated by people who choose not to have children is because of the cultural messaging we get from the moment we're born, that your destiny is to become a parent. So, you know, opting for a different path is shocking. But when we learn from parents and we hear from parents both about why they opted in and what they love about parenthood, and when we reserve space for parents who opted in and wish they had made another choice, I think we will all be better off when we understand the variety of experiences of parents and non-parents. I think we'll be in a better place.
Donna and Amy, we have lots of folks on the phone waiting to join the conversation. I want to take this phone call now from Berlin, Germany. Zoe is on the phone. And good morning, Zoe. What do you want to share with us?
Hi, Angela. I'm calling because, yeah, I absolutely love Amy's book. I'm reading it right now, and it's just the insights are incredible. And you're right, we need to talk more about this. I always knew that I didn't want children, and, you know, I didn't have any role models. I didn't know anyone else who felt this way, and that's what made me scared to actually start talking about it. And we do need more role models, because right now, the role models we have are all negative. You know, it's all career-obsessed women or selfish. The Pope just said we child-free people are selfish. And this is what huge public figures are saying about people who haven't chosen to have children or don't want to have children. And what Amy is saying about us really having more conscious choices and people who want children really asking themselves whether they want children and why they want them. I think that can only benefit society, right? Instead of just being on autopilot. So I think it's a really good thing that people are asking themselves this question, and we need to stop shaming people. If they don't follow what other people want, that's okay. Let's embrace the diversity. That's my point of view.
And Zoe, there in Berlin, do you have friends who share your same view about choosing not to have kids?
So, yeah, I've been really, really lucky because I come from the UK, and there all of my friends had kids. They all married really young. And, when I came to Berlin, and I kept my kind of true feelings hidden. People would ask me, because I got married also relatively young, in my mid-20s, when are you having children? And I really hid that fact. I really kind of said, oh, I'm not sure. And when I came to Berlin, which seems to embrace more alternative ways of living, and people really kind of, let you just go about your business. And that's not saying that the German government let you go about your business, but generally, every person I would meet would not shame me, not judge me. I still had questions from doctors and pressure from that area of my life. But this is a really important thing. And I actually started a project here in Berlin photographing women about their choice and why they made the decision. And I even started a podcast and interviewed Donna as well. Hi, Donna.
All right.
Zoe, I knew that was you.
All right. Zoe in Berlin, thank you for sharing. And Donna, so Zoe is reading both of the work that you and Amy are doing. What do you think about her response and just, women finding community, finding other women who share this, decision, like, I don't want to have kids, and what the value of that?
I'll go first, if that's okay. Yeah, it's Donna.
Donna.
I think one of the things that I didn't realize I needed for so long is the kind of community that someone like Zoe has started. So she has this Instagram site, We Are Child Free. And, we got in touch over that. And, I didn't realize until my book came out, I had never been public about the fact that I didn't want children. I had been shamed so intensely that I just learned to kind of just not speak about it. And I was really nervous to write a book about a woman who didn't want children. Very early on in my writing career, I was told never to write a book about a woman who doesn't want children, because I wanted to do that 20 years ago. And I was told, literally, nobody wants to read about that woman. And I carried that around for all these years. And then finally, I just thought, she doesn't exist in literature. I don't see any women like this. And, I'm just going to write this book and then maybe nobody will want it. And, I was surprised when somebody wanted it and I was relieved. But I still don't think I realized until the book came out and people started contacting me, because they needed community so much, how alone I was in this decision. And so I feel like for the last 8 months or so since my book has been out, I suddenly have this world of community of women who also never wanted children. And I feel like a different person. It's been amazing. So I think it's incredible what women like Zoe are doing with her podcast and her Instagram site and her photography project.
Our guests today include Amy Blackstone, a professor of sociology at the University of Maine and the author of the book Child Free by Choice, The Movement, Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. And we're also talking to Donna Freitas, a novelist. And her most recent book, it came out in 2021, is The Nine Lives of Rose Napolitano. And we're taking your phone calls and hearing your stories. Are you child free by choice? And what helped you make that decision? Or are you in the process of making the decision now? The number is 651-227-6000, or call us at 800-242-2828. Let's take some more phone calls in Hanover, Minnesota. We've got Willie on the phone. Good morning, Willie. Thank you for waiting. And what do you want to tell us about children?
Well, basically, I'm a going to be 72 in a few months, and my wife and I, well, she passed just shy of our 50th. Mm-hmm. She was brought up in Notre Dame, big family. We didn't think about nuclear war, overpopulation, Planned Parenthood, you know, didn't think about a lot of things. We got out of high school and both went on to higher education. And after 1 year, we got married and we started a family. And my point in calling is that, not sorry that, you know, we ended up with two kids, five grandkids, but it's a long-term commitment. And when we both went on, first I put her through college and she put me through, there's things maybe that no one thinks about. And so that's my point in calling, is that I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, but we came to the conclusion that had we to do it over again, we probably wouldn't have had children. Not that we don't love our kids now, mm-hmm. but we were unaware of all the other, good things that could have happened in life, easier, made life easier. I think maybe getting married young had something to do with that, but loved each other, you know, till death do us part. So I just hope that Planned Parenthood can continue and that people have this choice.
So, Willie, you're 71, and so you're saying if you and your wife had a chance to do it over again, that you may have chosen a different life for yourself.
Yeah, we went, you know, on to meet other people that made the choice not to have kids, and at first, much of what the people have been talking about today was quite relevant with us. Kind of couldn't understand that, but as time went on, one of them was, a couple of them were in education, and I remember one made the comment, my kids are in the classroom. And, you know, there's just a lot of options out there. And
Thank you,
Willie.
You
don't always think of them, but sometimes not really regret, but sometimes we both came to the conclusion that we probably wouldn't have done that.
That's Willie in Hanover. Thank you. What do you think when you hear his story, Donna?
I want to say thank you for being willing to share it so openly. I know that those kinds of things are hard to admit or can be scary to admit in public. And so thank you. I think we don't necessarily raise our kids to ask questions about parenthood. We raise our kids to make the assumption that, of course, they'll become parents, that it's not something you need to think about. And, you know, what you had said earlier, Angela, that, you know, when you were 12, you knew you wanted to become a mother. You just knew it was your instinct. And, you know, but, you know, when a girl or when a child expresses that, I'm going to have three kids and their names are going to be like John and whatever, you know, we have them all picked out. We never respond to kids by saying, you can't know that now. You may not want to become a mother, or like, you should think about it. There are all kinds of different options. We generally just resist. Whereas with someone who says they don't want children, we react in horror. And so kind of what Amy was talking about earlier, that we don't ever really ask people, well, why do you want to become a mother? Have you thought about it? We just do the reverse if people express that they don't. And I really wish as a culture that we were, you know, just kind of like what we do with sex education. You know, we raise our kids to understand it and to understand that they have choices to make around, you know, sex and, if they become pregnant, et cetera. But we don't do the same thing with parenthood for some reason.
And Amy, just quickly, I'm just curious, what do you think about Willie, who called in 71, says if he had to do it all over again, that maybe he and his wife would have chosen a different life for themselves?
Oh, wow. Well, first, I have to say thank you to Willie. We don't hear men speak about this topic as often as we should. And we certainly don't hear parents who whose feelings about parenthood are complex. I mean, it was clear from hearing Willie that he loves his children and grandchildren, and he also recognizes a point that I try to make all the time when I'm speaking, which is that we can't do everything. We have one life, and I think the notion that we can have it all has been well debunked. If it hasn't been, it should be. And we choose a path and make the best of it, or hopefully we choose a path. Sometimes the choice is made by others. But I think what I really loved about Willie's story was his willingness to be forthcoming about the reality that he and his wife may have made a different choice. And in some cases, they might have enjoyed their lives a little bit more. And also that they are comfortable with the choice that they made. I think that we often ask people to take a position that is so strongly entrenched in one or the other, that it's a dichotomy. You either must love children or hate them. You must want to be a parent or not at all. And for most of us, I think it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Let's take some more phone calls as we talk about the decision to be child-free. In Eagan, Leah is on the line. Good morning, Leah. What do you want to share with us?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to add some info about something that I think we most often don't think about, mm-hmm. And that is kind of the sacrifices and the impact on a woman's health that she might have to make, particularly mental health. I myself am on a few medications for mental health, and in order to have kids would have to, get off all of those medications, and that could impact my ability to do my job, just life in general.
Yes.
We've always kind of thought, yeah, we'd love to have a family. Kind of the timing and all of that of deciding to go, okay, like this might be really tough, might not be able to do my job, might have a bunch of struggles here just in life, mm-hmm. Is a really big roadblock for us.
And the pregnancy could be difficult too.
Yeah.
If you were
especially.
Had to take or come off of your medications as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's Leah and Eagan. Thank you, Leah. Let's also talk in Minneapolis to Emily. Emily's on the phone. Emily, what do you want to tell us about choosing not to have children?
Hi, yes. Good morning. I totally identify with both of your speakers with the nannying and babysitting and knowing at a young age of not wanting to have children, and pretty close to Amy's age right now. And what I find, which is most, I guess, annoying, is as I've gotten older and you're around other people that have kids and they're older and they're in sports, and it's that sports mom and sports dad, and they always think that there's something wrong with you. Usually they think that there's something medically wrong with you and that you're just not being transparent. Mm. And, kind of just a funny anecdote. My mother was staying with me and my husband now. And, she had said to me, Emily, I really wish I would have had the opportunity to make the decision you made not to have kids. And my husband was stunned. And I was like, well, I grew up with her. She was kind of identified. So.
And Emily, how old were you when you decided when you felt like you knew you did not want to have children?
Around 17.
All right. All right. That's Emily in Minneapolis. Thank you. I want to make sure I get this question in. On this show, we often talk about demographics, and both Amy and Donna, you're both researchers. And Amy, I know that research shows that people who are white, wealthy, and college educated, they tend to be more likely to choose not to have children. So in your research, what have you found about demographics and the role that plays into this conversation?
I'm so glad you asked, Angela, because they often aren't explicitly talked about, but I think they are part of every conversation that we have about the child-free choice. As you noted, by and large, this changes and has changed over time, but women who opt out of parenthood tend to be white, middle and upper class professionals. And those are the folks that policymakers, whether they want to say it outright or not, want people to be having babies. And one of the things that I think gets left out in this conversation, when we're talking about declining birth rates and declining populations within, you know, nation states and nation borders, is that we have a solution available to us at hand that does not include encouraging people who don't want to become mothers to do so. And that is to take a look at our immigration policies. And welcome people in who are looking for a place to be. And, you know, the subtext there is that the people we're welcoming in may not all be white. In fact, most of them won't be. And I think that's the reason we're not having that conversation, frankly. I think, you know, the legacy of racism is long and deep, and we see it every day still. And I think that's a huge reason that we're not talking explicitly about the demographics of this phenomenon, and why we're not looking to solutions that are right in front of our faces, frankly.
All right, let's get more phone calls in. In Woodbury, we have Karen on the phone. And Karen, what do you want to tell us about the decision to be child-free?
Good morning. I was married very, very young, and I was very strict in my religion because of my parents. And no birth control was allowed at all. Consequently, I have 5 children. And if I had it to do back over again, I would go to school and I would have maybe 1, maybe 2 children, but certainly not 5. I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
And so you have 5 children, and how did that come to be, the number of children that you landed on?
Because birth control was absolutely frowned upon, not allowed at all. You would go straight to hell if you had that, if you used any. Mm-hmm. And I was very strict in religion, and we have 5.
Mm-hmm. And so when you hear this conversation, Karen, how do you feel about it as women are voicing the decision not to have children, couples making this choice? What are you thinking?
I appreciate their views. They're very strong. They obviously have a higher education, which I also would have done. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't thinking for myself at all. I was letting other people make decisions for me.
Mm. Thank you, Karen, for sharing your story. Donna Freitas, I believe, let's talk about the role of religion in this. And Donna, you have a PhD in religion, is that right?
Yes, religion and gender studies.
Okay. I thought I read that. What do you hear in her story there, Karen?
You know, I hear what is a very typical story. I mean, I'm assuming your caller was raised Catholic. That sounds like a Catholic upbringing with regard to birth control, I'm just going to guess. And I certainly was raised in a similar way. I was raised Catholic. And, you know, I think religion, and I know, Amy, you talk about this in your book, like religion is one of the things that makes us believe that, you know, this is a calling, it's a vocation, especially for women to become a mother, like it is what is meant to define us. And so I think, you know, often if you are raised within a religious tradition, it comes to seem like if you don't do this thing, you are, you know, you're essentially going against your faith tradition. And I actually interviewed a young woman in Texas who told me that she was raised to believe that women could only be 2 things. They could either become mothers or they could become nuns. And so she chose to become a nun because she didn't want to have children. And it wasn't until she was older that she realized, like, oh, there are other options for women. Like, they don't have to become nuns. They could just become women who don't have children. And so I think it is really, you know, the Pope just came out. Zoe mentioned this in her call. The Pope just came out and said that, you know, people who don't want children, you know, they show a lack of humanity. So he actually said that in his comments. And so I think it's really hard for someone who is a member of religious tradition to, you know, to back down from that if they really care about their faith tradition.
And I want to know, you know, I think we've throughout the hour, we've talked about how like this is just something we don't talk about because particularly the response that people typically get when they say out loud to others, like, I don't see myself becoming a parent or I don't think I want to have children. But do you think now we're moving towards a future where it is no longer expected that women in particular have children? Amy?
Wouldn't that be nice? I don't think we're there yet. No. I mean, I think that life is very different for those of us who opt out of parenthood today than it was for those who were making this choice even 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I have a friend, Marcia Drutt Davis, who's also an author, who is child-free and announced her child-free decision to her in-laws in 1972 on the show 60 Minutes and was summarily fired from her job as a teacher after that. So, you know, I'm a teacher. I have shared my choice not to have kids far and wide and never considered that my job would be at risk for doing so. So, you know, it is a different, we're in a different place, but we're not there yet. I mean, I think until we can see, well, one, the irony in a man who himself has opted for a life without children, the Pope, the irony of him making proclamations about the selfishness and humanity of others like him who don't have children, until we can talk openly about that, until parents have a space where they can talk openly about the challenges of parenthood, and until children are raised with the understanding that it's a choice they can make. They can opt in, they can opt out. And either choice is fine. I think we have a long way to go.
Well, this conversation has given, I think, many of us a lot to think about and also think about how we react and how we talk to others in our lives who we care about as they voice their decisions. Our time is up. I want to thank all of our listeners who called in and shared their personal stories. And I want to thank our two guests today. We've been talking to Amy Blackstone, a professor of sociology at the University of Maine and the author of the book Child Free by Choice, The Movement, Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. And Donna Freitas, a novelist and professor there at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. Her book is called The Nine Lives of Rose Napolitano. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Donna. This conversation was produced by Samantha Matsumoto. Be safe, everyone. We'll talk again tomorrow morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.